Okay. Thank you all for coming. I know it's late. Feel free to get up and leave whenever you get tired or want to do something more exciting. Sure should be Kruah Shlema for Yosef and Rachel and for all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
So, as a way of introduction into the Sugya of Rashbi, the Sugya of Lag BaOmer, I quote here in the first source for Pinchas Friedman's Hakdama to his Sefer, where he speaks about his introduction to Rashbi, and I think it suits us well as an introduction and actually opens up the topic I want to discuss. He says in his Sefer, Kedaihu Rav Shimon, which is all about Rav Shimon Lag BaOmer, Baruch Elokeinu Shebaranu Lechvodovi Yivdilanu Min HaTorah, and thank God that we are separated from the people that are mistaken. So he says, Yireti bepitzuti legeshet el kadosh chayv v'rada achzati reti v'zei. He says, I was a little scared when I began getting into the topic of Rashbi. I began to tremble. Who am I to start speaking about Rashbi, to get into the sugya of Rav Shimon? Lahad piece sefer binyane lag ba'omer ube in yane kedushas Torah tochel tana ha'eloki Rav Shimon bar Yochai. To start publishing about Rashbi, to publish a sefer about lag ba'omer. Who am I to start dealing with these inyanim? Asher malaches v'srafim el yonim v'tachtonim radu mimenu v'ich yaliz adam kemoni asher leiv yodeh marat nafshalit asei. He says that the angels, the higher beings, the lower beings, they tremble from the concept of Rashbi. And who am I? I know my faults to begin to discuss Rashbi and to get into these topics. So definitely I associate with these feelings of Rav Pinchas Friedman, who's a Rosh Kolom Bells, right? If Rav Pinchas Friedman feels this way, Kal Vachomer, I could feel this way. But he gives us an Eitzah. He tells us why it's okay, and he comforts us. He gives us an Nechama, and this is a Pesach into the entire topic I want to discuss. What is Rashbi? Who is Rashbi? And what is Rashbi for us? Ulam zot nechamti beinei ki tamachti, where it's underlined, Yesedosai b'shem ha-sefer kedaihu Rav Shimon. He says, I called the sefer kedaihu Rav Shimon, which means it's Rav Shimon is fitting. Al shem imrato shel Atana Hakadosh Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Rav Yeshua ben Levi, the Tana says in Brachos Tes Amud Aleph, Kedaihu Rav Shimon l'smoch alav v'shas hadchak, that you can rely on Rav Shimon in a shas hadchak, in extenuating circumstances, when it's not such a posh time, you can rely on Rav Shimon. Literally, they're talking about a sugya about Kriyat Shema, when you could say Kriyat Shema, if you need to say it early, if you need to say it late, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, okay, if there's some extenuating circumstances, you can rely on the Kula of Rav Shimon. But the way Rav Pinchas Friedman is learning it is that B'shas Hadchak, whenever you feel these extenuating circumstances, whenever you feel like there's some tough times, you can rely on Rav Shimon. V'yadum misfarim hakadoshim shakavana b'zeh shekedaihu l'smoch al atana eloki rashbi b'shat hadchak shiitpalo ba'adenu b'shmei marom. That we could rely on Rav Shimon to daven for us when we need it the most, in our own shas hadchak. And he says, therefore, how am I supposed to, write a sefer? Who are we to start giving shirim, to start learning about Rav Shimon? Kedai Rav Shimon l'smoch alav shas hadchak, says Rav Pinchas Friedman. So this is the answer, this is our heter to begin to discuss these things. But it's also a tremendous question. Why is it that Rav Shimon, Kedaihu l'smoch alav v'shas hadchak, that he's our go-to man, Shas hadchak is like that overtime guy, who you're going to give the shot to, Kedaihu Rav Shimon l'smoch alav v'shas hadchak. You should rely on Rav Shimon. What's Rav Shimon? Why Rav Shimon? To further the question, make the question much stronger, there are a few sources, some of these sources I was actually learning with Elliot on Thursday night, a few sources which just say puzzling things about Rav Shimon, which border on heretical if they weren't said by the Zohar and the great Rav Aharon of Karlin, and we have to understand what they mean. But the Zohar Kadosh says in source number 2, V'chtiv shalosh pamim b'shana yirei kol zuchucha pnei Adon Hashem. 3 times a year you should go to the base of Migdash, Aliyah L'Regel, to see the ponim of Adon Hashem, to see the countenance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man hu pnei Adon Hashem. What are we referring to when we say pnei Adon Hashem? Da Rashbi.
Didn't he write the Zohar?
His teachings are in the Zohar. He didn't actually write it. In fact, he gave permission to his Talmidim to write it the day he died. And it's a whole, there's a lot of mechkar also about who actually wrote the words, but it's his teachings. Okay, but even if this is his teachings, how did Rashbi, that would only even, that would further the question, how could Rashbi write, the question is good enough in and of itself, how could we say this about Rashbi, how could we equate him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if these are actually the words of Rashbi, then all the more so, what's going on?
Because of this, do people have a minogativism, everyone goes to Miron, but do you have a minogativism 3 times a year for this? Because it says in Zohar.
Maybe it could be.
Shalosh Pramim Shana. I don't know when the 3 would be, but it says Kasi Shalosh Pramim Shana.
It could be, and also it could be that going to Meron has this like Bechina, this concept of Aliyah L'Regel in some way. It says the base Aaron of Karlin. This is a famous line that's quoted in a lot of the Sfarim. Kol Mishiyeshlo Emuna Birashbi. Right, in general we think of Emuna. When we say Emunah, we talk about Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's it. Like what says Rav Aaron of Karlin, Kol mi sheyesh lo Emunah b'Rashbi, whoever has Emunah in Rashbi, yesh lo chizik b'Rashbi. Rashi gives him chizik. Kishem shashem yisbarach hu Hashem l'kol, Rashbi hu Rashbi l'kol. And just like Hashem is Hashem for everyone, so too Rashbi is Rashbi for everyone. Again, a strange way of comparing Kaddish Baruch Hu to Rashbi. It seems bizarre. So we clearly have to understand a little bit about who Rashbi is. So begin to get into this, and we're going to develop this Gemara and understand this Gemara more and more, some deeper Ramazim. But just one more Gemara, which just again says a very strong statements about Rashbi and the koach of Rashbi and the kedai hu l'smoch of Rashbi and with these statements we begin to understand why 500,000 people go to Meiron and Lag BaOmer, but we still don't like fully, we don't get why. Right, this final statement, it says Tanu Rabbanan Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Chayim Amud Beis Kishen Nichnasu Rav Aseinu L'Karim B'Yavna Amru Asida Toira Shetishtachach Mi'Yisrael. They said that the Torah is eventually going to be forgotten from the Jewish nation. Shenamar hine yamim bam num Hashem vishlachti ra'av ba'aretz lo rav lelech v'lo tamei l'maim ki'im l'shmo dvar Hashem. Hashem, there's a prophecy that in the end of the days there's going to be a famine and a drought, and it's not a famine and drought for food, it's a famine and drought for the words of Hashem, for Torah. So the rabbi said, prophecy says there's going to be a lack of Torah. The Torah is going to be forgotten in Klal Yisrael. Comes Rashbi and he says, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Chas v'shalom shetishtach Torah miYisrael. No, it's not going to happen. Guaranteed. I'm the guarantor. I promise the Torah will not be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Shenamar ki lo tishkach mipi zaro. The Torah will not be forgotten. It says the pasuk, it will never be forgotten.
Legend.
Okay, how does Rashbi make this promise? What's the koach of Rashbi? Why? How was Rashbi able to get up and guarantee this? Right, actually, for all of us, whoever's going to be there this Wednesday night, you'll see on the entranceway to the kever, there's a little arch you walk in blue writing. It says this pasuk ki lo tishkach mi pi zaro, because this is what Rashbi stood for. But we have to understand why. How was Rashbi able to make these guarantees.
Did he say that in multiple places? That, like, do we know that, like, that was, like, his slogan? That, like, we're going to push Torah on?
It says it in this Gemara, on Shabbos, Kilo Tishkach Mipi Bizarro. There are a lot of Chazals which deal with Rashbi and the importance of Torah, and we'll see, we're gonna learn in a few minutes why this pasuk is really shayach to Rashbi, and why Rashbi is really connected. So we have to now take a step back and understand a little bit about Rashbi to understand how he knows this, why this is his pasuk. Right? After all, it is just the pasuk that he's quoting. So why is that Rashbi's pasuk? Why is it on his kever? Okay. So what I want to do now is, before we even get into anything that resembles some sod, some chassidah, some of the deeper dimensions related to Rashbi, I want to take a look at different statements from Rashbi that we find in Shas, in the Talmud Bavli, and through that, to understand what is Rashbi's outlook in life. Okay, so I'm going to run through a few sugyas and shas that Rashbi is a mandamar, that he has something to say. And hopefully after we learn these four or five sugyas, whatever it is, we'll be able to understand what's his hashkafa, what's his outlook. Source number five, the Gemara discusses the concept of zrika, okay? Right, notar is korban, which is left over, okay? And Rashbi says that it only takes on tumas ochlin once it had a chance to be eaten, okay? And in order to for the korban to be eaten, you have to do zrika. You have to sprinkle the blood, okay? Because until the zrika happens, then it can't be eaten. So says Rashbi that even if you didn't actually end up sprinkling the blood, why didn't you end up sprinkling the blood? Because the sunset, the day was over, you're not allowed to do the avoda at that point. So you didn't end up sprinkling the blood, but you had, it was ra'ay lizrika. You had time to sprinkle it. You had, you know, 10 minutes left in the day, and it was ra'ay. It was, you did the shechita and everything, and you were ready to do zrika. Says Rashbi, kol ha'omid lizarek kizarek dami. That if it was omid lizarek, it was waiting, it was on deck, it was potentially able to have the zrika, we consider it as if it was zarek already. And even though it wasn't zarek, still the tumas ochlin, there's tumas ochlin for this nosar. So that's the opinion of Rashbi. In source number five, we won't do it inside, but the opinion of kola omid lizarek kazarek damid, that the fact that it had potential, the fact that it was only Zarek, we consider it as if it was Zarek already. That's one opinion of Rashbi. Source number six, we have a similar opinion. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Gemara and Bava Kama Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, which says, Kol HaGorim L'mamon K'mamon Dami. What's the case in the Gemara? If I sanctify my cow or something, and I say, this becomes hektish, all of a sudden, the cow doesn't have value anymore because it's hektish, so it doesn't have value. It has to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens if someone comes and damages the cow? On the one hand, they damage something that was valueless. It doesn't have value anymore because it was hektish. So says Rashbi that davar hagorim lemamun kamamun dami, that still the fact that now this cow is killed and I can't give it to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to have to give another cow to the Beis HaMikdash. So in the end of the day, even though the cow that you damaged was valueless, still from my wallet I'm going to have to take out another $100 and buy another cow. So you didn't damage mamon, you didn't damage value, but you were gorim lemamon, you caused me to lose money. So kol gorim lemamon kamamon dami, the fact that you caused it to happen, the fact that in potential you caused me to lose money, that's as if you damaged mamon and you're going to be chayav. Alright, we'll try to go through all the Gemaras and then we'll try to summarize what's going on here. Gemara in Bava Kama, source number 7, Memdalat Amud Beis. Again, we'll do it outside. That says if a shor damages someone, Shelo b'kavana, hanizikin shelo b'kavana, it didn't mean to, it was just, it was backing up, it was running towards its food or something. I'm not exactly sure how we determine that the ox didn't do it with the kavana, but I guess it's some case where it's obvious that the ox didn't mean to do the damage. So, hanizikin shelo b'kavana, Rabbi Shimon says, potter, you're potter. That's source number, that's the next Gemara in source number 7. Source number 8. Is the opinion of Shimon that we're doresh taima dekra, that in this specific case it comes up a few times in Shas, that the pasuk says that an almana you can't take a mashkon from her because it's going to embarrass her, that she's going to have to go get the mashkon back and people are going to know that she didn't pay her debt, so it's going to embarrass her. We don't want to embarrass an almana. So you can't take a mashkon from her, a lien, right? If she owes you, she's in debt to you. So you take her, her dress or something, and And therefore, until she pays you back, you have her dress.
Like collateral?
So, a collateral. That, okay, that's the word I was looking for. Okay? So you can't take a collateral from an almana. So Reb Shimon says that no. This is only talking about, right? And the pasuk says stam. It just says an almana, you can't take a mashkon from her. Says Reb Shimon, no. This was only talking about a aniyah, a poor almana. But a rich almana, you can take a mashkon. And what's he say? Right, so before we do Rabbi Shimon, let's say what the Rabbanim say, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's just what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says you can't take a mashkin from Amana. Says Rabbi Shimon, no. I'm Doresh Taima Dekra. I'm going to learn up the reason behind the Pasuk. Why did the Pasuk say you can't take a mashkin from Amana? Because it's going to embarrass her. Why is it going to embarrass her? Because everyone's going to see that she doesn't have her dress, and she's constantly going back to get her dress. But if she's rich, she has a lot of dresses. If she's rich, she has a lot of dresses, so it won't embarrass her. So since I understand that I'm Doresh Taima Dekra, I understand the whole reason is to embarrass her, that when the Pasuk says you can't take a mashkin from Amana, it must only be talking about a poor Amana, not a rich Amana. This is the Shita of Rav Shimon, Doresh Taima Dekra. Last Gemara we'll do, Shabbos Chaf Tafs Amud Beis, is a famous Shita of Rav Shimon that says, Dover She'ino Mischavin is Potter. L'inyan Shabbos. Okay, what are we talking about? So the Gemara here brings a case that if I'm dragging a bench, okay, why am I dragging the bench? Because I want to sit, and I want to drag it to the shade, because I want to sit in the shade. Okay, as I'm dragging the bench, what happens? I begin to, a little ditch begins to form, because the bench is heavy, and I'm making a little demarcation, a little ditch in the ground. So what's going on? I'm doing the Av Malacha of Choresh. I'm plowing. So look at this case. You're plowing right in front of our eyes. Says Rav Shimon, no. It's a davar she'ino mischavin. You didn't have kavana to plow. You didn't. Your kavana was just to move the bench. You didn't say, oh, I want to plant a seed right now, so I'm going to make a little hole. Therefore, I could put a seed in there, and I could grow a great tree. That's not what you're doing at all. You're moving a bench because you want to sit in the shade.
What if you do a davar she'ino mischavin, and then and you're like, oh, it's already there. Seth Shabbos, so I came as well. Use to plant a seed.
I don't know about that, but what we do say is that if it's a really heavy bench, that it's guaranteed that you're going to make a ditch.
Shouldn't drag it.
Then you're not allowed to drag it. That's called the Pesik Resha. But if it wasn't guaranteed and it happened to make a ditch, we say, okay, that wasn't what your kavana was. That wasn't what you were trying to do. So let's learn this up. Okay, what's the Shita Rav Shimon? What does all of this tell us? So we're going to start with the first case. What's Ha'omid Lazari Kazarek Dami? Rav Shimon sees the potential. Okay, Rav Shimon's Shita is that he sees, right, we have things that are in front of our eyes, we have things that face value, what you see at face value, what appears the pasha thing that you're looking at, and then there's something that's hidden, something that's potential, something that you don't necessarily see right there. So the first Gemara, Kol Ha'omei Kazarek Dami, right? So at face value, what do you mean? You didn't sprinkle the blood. There's no sprinkling happened yet. Says Rav Shimon, no. Since it was potentially able to be sprinkled, I'll already consider it as if it was sprinkled, because I see the potential, I see what could happen. Right? Same thing. Kol Ha'gorim L'mamon, Davar Ha'gorim L'mamon K'mamon Dami. Meaning that it's true, you didn't really damage anything that had value, but you caused him to lose money. I see what's happening not at face value. At face value, you damaged something that was totally invaluable. It had no value at all. But since I see the deeper thing that happened, I see what happened behind the scenes, you caused him to lose money, I'm going to be mechayev you. And that's why Rav Shimon says that if your ox damages without kavana, you're putter. Because Rav Shimon, right, you might look at this thing and you see an ox running into your house and shattering the windows. And you're like, whoa, your ox damaged. Look at what I see. And Rav Shimon says deeper. He says, no, the ox didn't have kavana to damage, and therefore, it's not going to be chayev. Same thing with Dorshin time of Dekra. Right? The pasuk says something at face value. At face value, the pasuk says, don't take a mashkum from an almana. Rav Shimon says, no. I'm going to read the pasuk on a deeper level. I'm going to go deeper into the pasuk. What am I going to do? What's the reason for the pasuk? What's the Torah trying to tell me? What's going on beneath the surface? And therefore, I understand the reason, and since, based on the deeper reasoning of the Pasuk, this din only applies to a poor almana, not a rich almana. And the same thing is true when it comes to the dragging the bench. Dover she'ena miskaven potter. Right? At face value, what do you see? You see a guy, he's plowing. Right? You see, before there wasn't a ditch, now there is a ditch. That's what we call plowing on Shabbos. So at face value, I see plowing going on right now. That's a malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos. Says Rav Shimon, no, look deeper. Look at what this kavana is. This guy's kavana is. Is his kavana to plow? Of course not. He just wants to go sit in the shade. So I'm going to look a little deeper, says Rav Shimon, and at face value, you see plowing, but on a deeper level, there's no kavana, and therefore you're not chayev. So we're beginning to understand Rav Shimon a little bit. Right? Everyone with me at this point? We're beginning to understand Rav Shimon a little bit. He sees beyond what is visible to our eyes. He has a deeper vision, a deeper look at everything, and he sees things not just for what they are, but deeper, you know, the potential they have and what they can be. Not what they are right now, but what they can be, or what the intention is, and what's really going on deep down inside. This is the sheet of Rav Shimon. We'll put this on the side for a second, and we're going to get back to the Gemara we quoted earlier, and hopefully we'll all come together. All right, because the question we have is, how does the sheet of Rav Shimon that we see throughout Shas, how does this relate to Kabbalah? But we all know that Rav Shimon was the author of the Zohar, whether that means the words or not, right? The ideas of the Zohar were brought into this world by Rav Shimon. And the Zohar is the first recording of Kabbalah and the beginning of an entire Shasharas of Kabbalah coming into this world, and that was what Rav Shimon really introduced into this world. So how does seeing deeper, how does that relate to Kabbalah? Okay, so we have to understand a little bit about what the Kabbalah that Rav Shimon brought into this world, what it does. So let's go back to that Gemara we opened with. Kishenichnasu Chachamim liYavna, what were they concerned about? What were the Chachamim, what was their concern? The Torah is going to be forgotten from Yisrael. And came Rav Shimon and he said, no, Chas v'shalom shetishkatach Torah in Yisrael, ki lo tishkach mipi zara. So I told you there's a remez here, and there's a reason that Rav Shimon is connected to this, and there's a reason, if you actually look on the kever of Rav Shimon when we go on Wednesday night, on the tzion, as you walk in the doorway, the I told you this pasuk is written there. And the pasuk is written in a certain way that certain letters are bolded and they stand out. Which letters? So it's based on a teaching that the Tiferet Shlomo, the Radomsker, told us. The Radomsker told us, Mevuar Besvarim, 5 lines down in source 10. Mevuar Besvarim.
The Radziner.
What?
The ancestry of the Radziner.
Yeah, the Radziner is connected to Radomsker somehow. I know he goes to Poland every single year on the Shabbos of the Radomsker. Your side.
And every single day.
Yes. Mevuar Besvarim. Haremez Bizeh. Ki lo tishkach mi pizaro sofe tevos yochai. Says the Radomsker that if you take the sofe tevos, if you take the last letters of this pasuk, ki lo tishkach mi pizaro, I bolded it to make it a little bit easier for you to see. What do you get? You get yochai. So Yochai was saying, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was saying, ki lo tishkach mi pizaro, that's me. I can guarantee that. I'm telling you, ki lo tishkach mi pizaro. So we already see Rav Shimon has a connection to this pasuk. Source 10. 5 lines down, ki lo tishkach mi pizaro, see it's bolded, sofe tevis yochai. So that's why they chose this pasuk to write on top of the entranceway to Rashbi's kever, ki lo tishkach mi pizaro, this is his essence, yochai, see, ki lo tishkach mi pizaro. But we have a question. Okay, what's the question? The question is based on a Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Some of the Svarim Dafka say that this Gemara is the Gemara about when Rav Shimon learned all his Kabbalah, and it's Dafka on Shabbos, Lamed Gimel, connected to Lag BaOmer. And the Gemara describes that Rav Shimon, he basically He got in trouble with the Romans. We'll see why soon.
Went into a cave.
And he went into a cave. Right, Uzlu Tashu Bimara, three lines down, source 11, they hid in a cave. Itrachesh Nisa Iberluhu Churva Ve'ina Demaya, Kodesh Baruch Hu created a naze, and there was a carob tree and a wellspring, a flowing of water that they survived with. And the Gemara describes how they were buried in sand all the way up to their heads, and they Itru Treyasar Shani Bimara, about six lines down, that they hid 12 years in the cave. Otu Eliyahu v'kum apischa demara and Amar, where it's underlined in source 11. Eliyahu came after 12 years of them learning every single day. Then this is where Rashbi learned all the sod, all the Torah Sanistar, and he said man lodi lebar yochai the main case are batal gzeirase. So Eliyahu came and he says, who's going to tell Bar Yochai that the Kesar, the Roman Kesar, died and the Gzeira is over and he could be freed from the cave, he could go out of the cave. And the Gemara continues and describes how he went out, but he wasn't ready to go out yet because he started burning up the whole world. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this Gemara, we'll do it very quickly. He went back in for another year, finally he came out, and that's the Svarim also say that he came out on Lag BaOmer. Fine. Question that we have from this Gemara, Rav Pinchas Friedman, the Rosh Kol of Bells, brings it down in his Sefer Kedai. Rav Shimon, he's quoting from the Zichron Yosef, not exactly sure what the Sefer is, but he asked a question on the Gemara. What do we just say from the Radomsker? What's the Sofei Tevos of Kilo Tishkach Mi Pizarro Yochai? Okay, so what is Rav Pinchas Friedman says? He says, if you look in the Gemara where it's underlined, how did Eliyahu refer to Rav Shimon? He called him Yochai, but how is it spelled? Without the Aleph. So if the whole essence of Rav Shimon is Kilo Tishkach Mi Pizarro and Sofei Tevos, right, Yochai is the Sofei Tevos of Kilo Tishkach Mi Pizarro.
Why
is there no Aleph?
I'm saying, why is it's in the low?
So what word is missing? Low.
Where is it missing?
Yochai. Right? See in source 11, where it's underlined? How did Eliyahu refer to Bar Yochai? How does the Gemara spell it? Yud, Vav, Chet, Yud. There's no Aleph. So says the Radomsker that here's the big remiss. That, you know what the rabbis didn't realize? Before Rashbi went into the cave, he was only Yochai without the Aleph. And what do you get? What does the Pasuk spell if you don't have the Aleph? Ki Tishkach Mi Pizarro.
They will
forget the Torah, but then Rashbi came out of the cave after that extra year, 13 years, and he got that, you added the Aleph to his name, and all of a sudden Ki Tishkach Mi Pizarro, the Torah will be forgotten, turned into Ki Lo Tishkach Mi Pizarro, and it's through that Aleph that Bar Yochai was able to guarantee Ki Lo Tishkach Mi Pizarro and not to read it Ki Tishkach Mi Pizarro. And that's why originally he was referred to as Yochai without the Aleph, because before he went into the cave, it was Ki Tishkach Mi Pizarro. And once he came out of the cave, it became Ki Lo Tishkach Mi Pizarro.
Do we know if, like, all the recordings in the Gemara of, like, his conversations before or after in the cave? Like...
So there are Masoras about which teachings are before and after. I don't know offhand. We could look at it later. I've seen pieces about it. We could try to figure that out. But at least in this Torah, the Torah that Rabbi Pinchas Friedman is saying is that Ki Tishkach Mi Pizarro was before he went into the cave, before he had the Aleph, and then he added the Aleph, and it was Ki Lo Tishkach Mi Pizarro. So you say it's a Chassidish Shavur. But I want to understand this on a deeper level. It's not just, okay, we added the Aleph, and now it's Ki Lo Tishkach Mi Pizarro, and before it was Ki Tishkach Mi Pizarro. I want to try to understand what it is that the Aleph represents. Okay, what is it that adding in the Aleph, all of a sudden the Torah can't be forgotten? So we have to go back to the beginning of Torah and understand what it means, what an Aleph is. Okay, so the Arizal brings down in Parshas Bereishit, in Source 13, that the reason the Torah begins with a Beis and not an Aleph is because Beis our Aleph is Merames to the world of Atzilus, which is the highest world. Okay, there are four worlds. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzir, and Asiya. Aleph is Merames to the world of Atzilus. And Beis is Merames to the lower worlds, which is the worlds of Bria and below. And says the Arizal, Lo Dibra Torah v'Atzilus ela b'Bria. Valkain Hitchila Torah b'Beis, Ki Aleph Romez l'Atzilus, v'Beis Romez l'Bria, Shehu Olam Hashein. So the Torah is not talking about the world of Atzilus. It's not going to connect us to the world of Atzilus, and therefore the Torah doesn't begin with an Aleph, it begins with a Beis. V'gam Aleph Tchilas Tevas Atzilus u'Beis Tchilas Bria. Okay? And to understand a little bit what he means, the world of Atzilus is a world of Aleph, one, where you only the only thing you could see is the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's it. But as we go into the lower worlds, and the world we're in right now, all of a sudden we see so much division and multiplicity, and we don't see the oneness, the Aleph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that permeates this world and runs through this world, and the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. We declare that. We know Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shema Echad. We declare that. We believe that there's a unity in this world that even permeates this world, and that there is the Echad. But that the lower world doesn't feel that. So that's Aleph versus Beis. Says the Arizal that the Torah is not yet, it's not on the world of Atzilus. But says the Agra, the Kala, the Dinever of Tzvi Eliyahu Melech Midinov, that there actually is a way to bring the Torah to Atzilus, to bring the to add the Aleph. Right? Remember, we're trying to figure out what did that Aleph add to his name? Why all of a sudden you add the Aleph and he could guarantee that the Torah isn't forgotten? Says the Dinever that Bereishis, which begins with the Beis, actually could also be rearranged. And if you rearrange Bereishis, you get Et Rashbi. Right? The same letters of Bereishis could be rearranged Et Rashbi, which is Rosh HaTevis or Torah's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. That hinted within the beginning of the Torah is the Torah of Rashbi. That the Torah is hinting to us something great right now. And what's the idea that the Torah is hinting to us? That it might seem like on a pshat level that the Torah is only on the level of Bria and it's not that high. But says the Dinever, no, if you rearrange the Torah, then the Torah really does start with an Aleph. And you really can't tap into the world of Atzilus. And how do you tap into the world of Atzilus? How can you get the Torah to start with the word of with the letter of Aleph? Et Rashbi. If you bring in the Torah of Rashbi and you add the Torah of Rashbi, all of a sudden we're connected to Atzilus. And that brings us back to why. What's the Aleph that Ki Lo Tishkach Mi Pizarro versus Ki Tishkach Mi Pizarro? Once you add the Torah, the Atzilus, once you add the Aleph of Atzilus, which is Torah's Hasod, which is what Rashbi brings into this world, Rashbi brings to the Torah, once you add that, then we're guaranteed Ki Lo Tishkach Mi Pizarro. And before you add that Aleph, then it's not a guarantee. So, right, it's not just this idea, oh, they left out the Aleph originally, so it must be that they thought the Torah will. But it's hinting to something. It's hinting to that through the infusion of Atzilus et Rashbi et Torah Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, through that infusion, we could get to Atzilus and we could guarantee Ki Lo Tishkach Mi Pizarro. So now what we have to do, though, is we have to understand, like, what does this mean? Atzilus to bring the Torah from Bria to Atzilus, and Ein Lanu Esek Ben Nistarim, and is, you know, we could only say a little bit right now. Because we don't understand these things at all. But we'll try to understand a little bit. What does this mean, to add the Aleph of Atzilus? Et Torah Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Kluger, Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger, Shlita, in a Sefer Nezer Yisrael, he speaks about the fact that the four worlds that I mentioned, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzir, and Asira, are connected to four levels of Torah. Right, so Asiya, the lowest world, is connected Pshat. Yetzirah is connected Remez. Bria is connected Drash. And Atzilus, which we're discussing right now, what Rashbi brought into this world, is connected Sod. Okay, says Rav Kluger that our understanding of Sod, what do we think when we hear the word Sod? What does that mean?
Secret.
Okay, that's a translation. And what are we referring to?
Foundation.
Like the deeper
Kabbalah. The Kabbalah. okay? Deeper levels of the Torah, Kabbalah, and all these, you know, these crazy, the Sfiros, and these Yehudim that we don't understand. Says the names of Yisrael, it's not so posh, that's what we're referring to. Because he points out, we'll do it, I'm in source 16 now, I'll paraphrase the first few lines. He points out that really, there's pshat, remez, and drash, and sod within all of them. There's a pshat of pshat, there's a remez of pshat, there's a drash of pshat, and there's a sod of pshat. And within sod, there's a pshat of sod, a remez of sod, and everything's interconnected. So based on that, he says, nimtza, over here by the three dots, about six, seven lines down, Shehasod shebebriya eno matbe daika beinyanin niskavim hamedubarim zohar kadosh. Soda bria isn't just referring to, you know, things we find in the Zohar. Dargas mina olamim ha'alyoni v'yaduim rak litznun teyotibal. You know, these depictions of the higher worlds. Ela hasod hi ha'ara pnimius sheyesh b'chol prat. If there's one line that you know, that's the key line, the takeaway line. Sod is the inner shine that illuminates from each and every detail of this word. B'chol maisa, b'chol inyam b'briya b'chaya adam. Everything has an inner pnimius, something deep within that shines forth. That's the real definition of sod, right? And he says, okay, when it comes to Kabbalah, that you know, that's more seen, right? Umnam b'toras hasod mitbata ha'inyam pnimi hazeh b'otiyot shel divrei Kabbalah. So if you learn Kabbalah, this it's being expressed in a very simple way. But he says, and this is so important in the next paragraph, yachol yos adam hoga b'toras hasod mikom makom ochez rak b'pshat shebesod b'chitzionis ha'dvarim. Right, you could have someone that's learning sod, he's learning Kabbalah, but he only gets the pshat of sod, the very superficial understanding of sod. Right, you go, okay, and he gives an example, skipping down now to the three dots. You could have someone that's learning pshat. He's learning a very simple, basic level. But still, he's learning pshat, he's learning the basics, but he's learning sod. Why? Because he's learning on an inner dimension level. He's tapping into the inner essence of that thing. We're not talking about learning Kabbalah. It's getting into the pnimius of everything. To get into the essence of everything. That's what it means, sod. And if we get back to what we opened with, the Shita of Rav Shimon all over Shas. That's what Rav Shimon was, even in the Nigla sugyos that we learned. He was getting into the pnimius of everything. He was saying, oh, if there's Nezikim without Kavana, let's look at what really happened inside, on the depth of it. It wasn't Nezikim. You didn't have Kavana. If you drag a bench on Shabbos and you didn't mean to dig a ditch, then again, let's look at what happened inside. And when you look at the potential of something, Kala Omid Lizari, Kizarik Dami, again, you're looking at the potential. The potential is something that's hidden inside. So even in Nigla, we see Rashbi is looking for the sod of everything, the inside, the pnimius of everything, the potential, and that which doesn't meet the eye. Right? We said that's what comes up. He's talking about what doesn't meet the eye, and it's with this we're gonna have to mamish run through the last section. We're running out of time, but it's with this that we could get back to. First of all, how could Rav Shimon guarantee that the Torah can't be? Why is sod guaranteed ki lu tishach mi pizaro? And why is it kedai hu lu smoch al Rav Shimon b'shasetcha? To begin to understand this, I want to actually look at two more Gemaras of quoting Rashbi, and to use them to build a mahalach. Right, so that Gemara in Shabbos Lama Gimel, where Rashbi had to go into the cave to hide from the Roman Caesar. So what was it that caused him to the Caesar to get ticked at him, to get annoyed at him, to want to arrest him? So the Gemara disguised in source 17. Yosvi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Yosvi Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayhu. So the Rebbeim were sitting and learning together. Pasuk of Yehuda v'Amar. Kama noi masin shel umazu. Tiknu shvakim, tiknu gesharim. How great, how beautiful is this the Roman nation? They made shops and they made gesharim, bridges. Tiknu mechatzos and they made They made bathhouses. Rabbi Yossi Shatak. Rabbi Yossi remained silent. Nen of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'amar kol ma shetiknu. Everything they did, lo tiknu elo letzarech atzmam. They did it for themselves. Tiknu shakim lo hoshiv behem zonos. They made shops so they could put zonos there. Merchatzos la'adim behem atzman. Merchatzos because they wanted to beautify themselves. Gesharim litol mehem mechav so they could charge a huge tax on the GWB every time you want to cross the bridge. And eventually the Kesar found out that Shimon spoke in such a derogatory term about a derogatory way about the Roman nation, and he went after Rav Shimon.
You recognize
the Kesar. So what's going on here? What you know, Rashbi, why is he so negative about the Roman Empire? And also, like, what's so bad? You know, everything they did for their hana. Why is Rashbi so negative about you know everything they're doing? Like, you know, maybe they can be like Jews also do. Don't we all like kind of do things for our own benefits? What's Rashbi getting at? Furthermore, another Gemara, famous Gemara from Rashbi, is a Gemara in Yevamos, which says that kivrei ovdei kochavim ena matamin ba'ol. That there's no tumas olim by non-Jews. And that's why, l'maisa, we try to be machmir, but that's why, you know, if a Kohen in America could, it's much more simple for him if he wants to go into a hospital, for example, because there's really mostly just a chashash that there's going to be a dead non-Jew there, as opposed to in Eretz Yisrael, it's a whole shayla. Because this opinion of Rashbi that kivrei Ovdei Kochavim, non-Jews aren't metame ba'ol.
Makes sense.
How does he know that? So he says the pasuk says, which refers to Tumas Olim, it says Atem, and he says it says Adam. It refers to Adam, that only Adam is metame to Tumas Olim. So it sounds like Adam would refer to all people, non-Jews and Jews. Says Rashbi, no. Atem kriyim Adam. You're called Adam. V'i Ovdei Kochavim kriyim Adam. But non-Jews aren't called Adam. Again, like, why is he so negative? You know, non-Jews aren't Adam. Like, they don't have the stature. Why? How does he know? What's the difference? So, we'll skip the next sources, but we'll speak about them outside.
Serious? It's getting late.
Why? Nachon. You know this piece. I'm sure you know this piece. Okay? So, I think if we get into Sod, again, what did we say Sod was? We said it's not, Rav Kluger said it's not just learning Kabbalah. You know, you could have someone learning Kabbalah and they're learning Pshat, and you could have someone learning Pshat, but really they're learning Sod. What was Rav Kluger's definition of Sod? And what do we see based on Rav Shimon's Shas? What's the outlook of Rav Shimon? To look deeper. He sees the pnimius. Okay? And I think what comes out from this is that it's not just the pnimius in this world, the pnimius in this Torah, but it's the pnimius of Nachman sees in every single Jew. That there's that aleph that shines in every single Jew, which is the echad, that ultimate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Olam HaTzilus, the point within every single Jew, which that right, the Olam HaTzilus is connected, the part of the neshama of in every single Jew, which can't be tainted and only wants to do good, and the chilek eloka mimal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew his breath into us, and that part of us is good. Right, Rashbi sees deeper. And he could see Jews that are you know, sinning, and externally it looks like externally they're doing all these terrible things. But he sees deeper. Just like in Hilchos Shabbos, Rashbi was able to differentiate between what's going on externally and what's going on a deeper level. And Rashbi was able to realize that every single Jew has that aleph of Atzilus hidden deep within him, and there's that pure spot within him that can't be tainted. And when he realized that there was that aleph there inside of every Jew, he said, "Ki lo tishkach mi pizara," because with that aleph, with that pintle yid, as a lot of the Sfarim like to call it, with that untainted piece within every single Jew, that sod of every single Jew, Rashbi said I could guarantee the Torah won't be forgotten. Because I know that there's that unblemished point within every single Jew. Rashbi was able to look a little deeper and to see this. Right, we'll do the piece from Reb Nachman. It's probably the most famous Torah from Reb Nachman. You have to judge everyone favorably, right? This piece from Rav Nachman tells us how to have an outlook of Rashbi, a pnimius outlook. Even if at face value, at surface level, he looks like a Rasha Gomor. You have to look deeper and to find because there's that point within him, deep within him, right? For some people, it's mamish. Right, for some people it's on a pshat level. On a pshat level near tzaddikim. Some people, okay, you have to darshan a little bit. Like, he means well, he's doing this. And some people, you know, it's a remiz, he's doing good because, you know, he does a lot of chesed or whatever. Some people it's mamish, it's sowed. It's hidden so much. It's not the surface, but you have to look even deeper. From looking deeper and finding this good, from having a Rashbi outlook on Jews, you're malo to bekavskut. You elevate him, right? If you could tap into that aleph, that atzilus, that point within him, you elevate him. Ki lo tishkach mi pizaros, says Rashbi. The Bnei Yisrael in source 12, in source 22, he says, has a very nice remez. He says that Lag BaOmer, or the 49 days of Sfirah are days where we're counting to better ourselves and to work on our neshama and to become better Jews, and it's in the days of Avodah. Says the Bnei Yisrael that the 49 days of the Sfirah can be broken up into two sections. What are the two sections? Lev Tov. Right? You have 32 plus Tov is 17. Right? 32 plus 17, that's 49 days of Sfirah. Right? Yeah, I got it. Right? The 49 days of Sfirah. And he says that Lag BaOmer falls out exactly in the middle of Lev Tov. Exactly after Lev days, and there's Tov, there's, you know, we just finished Lev days, and we have Tov more days to go until Matan Torah. And I think the remez here is that on Lag BaOmer we realize that really every single Jew has Lev Tov. And that's what we're tapping in onto Lag BaOmer. And you know, people say, you know, you go to Meiro and you see all different types of Jews, and it's not such a positive scene. They're all there tapping into their Lev Tov. They're all trying to connect to their Lev Tov. And it's something that we have to realize also. We'll close with in source 21, a piece from Rav Moshe Wolfson, the great Mashkiach, and the Rav of Amunas Yisrael, great shul in Borough Park. And he says that this is the Torah of Rashbi, source 21. Rashbi gila sheish pnimius haTorah v'razim d'oraisa v'al kol os v'os yish tali talim sodos haTorah. Rashbi revealed to us that there's a pnimius, there's a deeper element of the Torah, and there's hidden secrets, and each and every little line of the Torah has sodos haTorah. But the extension of that is v'chol echad yisrael yesh lo op haTorah. If every Jew has a letter in the Torah, right? Chazal say Yisrael is Rosh Tevo yesh shishim riboy osios haTorah, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah and there are 600,000 neshamos, right? All the Svarim and the Rishonim and the Achronim speak about how that's not true, because really there aren't 600,000 words in the Torah, letters in the Torah, and there aren't 600,000 Jews, but they work it out. Right, Yisrael, Yeshishim, Reba, Osios, the Torah. So if every Jew has a letter in the Torah, every neshama has a letter.
There's 601,001 Jews that we just kill a guy.
No, there's a recycling of neshamas. Okay, in Lanu Esek when Staros, but there's a recycling of neshamas. And also letters are broken up into different things. Like for example, this is, I think there's a Pnei Yeshua that says like this, that an aleph is formed of two yuds, actually. So, and you've, and the Vav, okay? So however they work it out, right? So Yesh Shishim Ribois, every single Neshama has some, okay, whether it's a letter or a piece of an Aleph or whatever, or a little crown, every single Jew has some place in the Torah that his Neshama is connected to. The Chol Echad Yisrael Yishlo B'Torah. V'im Kain, says Rav Wolfson, it must be that if Rashbi showed us that every letter of the Torah is so deep and every Jew is connected to a letter, it must be that what right? It's I think the transitive property. It must be that every single Jew is infinitely deep, right? V'im Kain, Gam L'Chol Yisrael Yish Pnimius. Every Jew has that soul, that Pnimius. V'Chol Echad Yisrael Yishlo So Niskav Gavol Me'Agvora Sheshum Adam V'Afilu Malach Eino Mevin Alav. He has a secret that even the angels don't understand. This is we're attacking the Talmid Rabbi Kiva who they didn't see that lev tov, they didn't see that pnimius, that sword, and they didn't act with to each other with kavod. They all thought their friend was love, ain't no chashivas. We reveal that every single Jew has this inner Lev Tov, this Nekuda Pnimius, which is so special. Ukedoma she ish shafa ma'od as a yesho chashivus al pisod. And even if it looks like he's a pashut a Jew that has nothing going on, no mitzvos at all, we realize that on the soul level, on the atzilus level, on that aleph, that hidden aleph, kilul tishkach mi pizaro, and even he is connected to the Torah. So if we, we go back to the sources we began with. Kedai hu l'smocha Rav Shimon b'shas ha'dchak. That we could rely on Rav Shimon b'shas ha'dchak. Because Rav Shimon knew how to look at us. Rav Shimon teaches us how to look at each other. He teaches us how to look at ourselves. To not look at the surface value, but to look at the potential. To look at what we can be. What's hidden within us. And to connect on that. And that's why the Beis Aharon says that Kishem Shashem Yisparach Hashem Lakol, just like Hashem is there for is for all of us, Kach Rashbi Lakol. Rashbi is Lakol. And we have Chizik B'Rashbi, says the Beis Aharon. And that's how, right, getting back to the Gemara we started with, that Sofei Tevos Yochai, Ki Lo Tishkach Mi Pizaro, that's how Rashbi was able to guarantee, because he knew about that Aleph, that hidden Aleph that's within every single Jew. And we should be Zocha to tap into our Sod and to manifest our potential. Amen.